Welcome to Books and Beyond with your hosts, Karen and Louisa. Join us for half an hour of information, entertainment, reading recommendations, and beyond. Brought to you by Auckland Libraries.
I know this girl, and she works in a library, yeah.
Kia ora, everyone. Kia ora, Louisa.
Kia ora, Karen. And everyone.
I have such good news to open our show today for you, Louisa, and for everyone, for all book lovers, because it's time to vote for the Diagram Prize.
Okay. But please explain, Karen.
Well, you may ask what prize. The Diagram Prize for Oddest Title is the full name of this wonderful award. So the Diagram Prize has been around for many years. It's my favorite of literary prizes. It's run by the British trade magazine, The Bookseller, and in particular by Horace Bent, who works for the British trade magazine, The Bookseller. And he is the guiding spirit of the prize, as he likes to call himself. And also in other interviews, he talks about himself as its custodian. He's actually been known to say, my prize. So the Diagram Prize was actually inspired by the founder of the Diagram Group. Looking for some recognition here?
So. Okay.
No, a very niche company that creates content for books in the publishing company of diagrams. So the Diagram Group creates diagrams, charts, and maps. And they were at the Frankfurt Book Fair. And if anyone has ever been working at a book fair as opposed to visiting a book fair, you know that there are moments of grave boredom. Anyone who works at any fair, have you worked at a fair, Louisa?
No.
I have.
This is just getting odder and odder.
So they went around hunting down odd titles at this Frankfurt Book Fair. And it has, over the years, has evolved into a actual award. The Bookseller organizes the voting every year, and it's done by members of the public. So that's you and me, Louisa, and all of you listening out there. And it's also members of the public who can nominate titles. But the Bookseller does the shortlisting, and it goes up on their website. So the first ever winner was Proceedings of the Second International Workshop on Nude Mice.
Sorry, I just snorted into the microphone.
Yeah. That's all right. Some nude laughter. So the first I heard of it, however, was 2009. And the year that I remember learning about it, the winner was the 2014 World Outlook for 60 milligram containers of fromage. Which was not actually the one I voted for. The one that I liked that year was How to Avoid Huge Ships.
Oh, how handy.
In a country like New Zealand.
Yeah.
So then the
Pacific Ocean.
And the huge Pacific Ocean, where huge ships crisscross the ocean. And the year before that.
I was just picturing me paddling my vaka in the huge Pacific Ocean with this huge cargo ship heading towards me.
And you wanted to know how to avoid it.
Yes, so I need this book.
Yes, you do. And I'm not sure if we have it in the library, maybe down in the basement. Anyway, the year before that, which might have been what drew it to my attention, was that it actually organized a diagram of diagrams inspired by the Booker of Bookers. Or is it Best of Booker? I'm a little confused. Best of Bookers? Booker of Bookers? Anyway, the Booker where the best Booker Prize winners of all time are picked. And the Diagram of Diagrams, more people voted, I'll have you know, for the Diagram of Diagrams than actually voted for the Booker of Bookers, which is also elected by the public. And the winner was Greek Rural Postmen and their cancellation numbers.
I'm snorting into the microphone.
That was a bit more. No, that was a bit more sophisticated. Perhaps the Greek rural postmen are more sophisticated than the nude mice. So about 5 years ago, I do have to say, I'm just going to put this out there, just in case Horace Bend is listening and wants to not slip up again.
I want to ask a question. Is that his real name?
Yes, Horace Bent. Absolutely.
Okay.
So we can do names later. We can do odd names. So I just wanted to say that the Diagram Prize did hit a slump, in my opinion, as they used to say on The Good Wife, about 5 years ago when they really went for the intentionally rude title, as Horace Bent once explained, that he disdained people trying too hard to win the prize, so picking the odd title.
The whole point is
it has to be a naive odd title, that the people writing the book are so excited about this subject they don't realize that other people people could think that it's a odd title.
So the pick me mentality.
Right, exactly. And so, in particularly, the intentionally rude of that very young child's sense of humor, which is commonly called toilet humor, I believe. Am I right?
Yes, I have a youngest son who
So toilet humor, big stage of development of the sense of humor. So the first one that I remember was when the winner one year was Cooking with Poo. So this was actually a Thai cookbook. Poo was just the nickname of the cook. It means crab in Thai, apparently.
Oh, okay. Now, I thought we were talking about Winnie the Pooh, you know, children's
stories. No, Poo, P-O-O, no H. So, and this was the thing. So there was these are some of the other books that were up that year when Cooking with Pooh was chosen. The Mushroom in Christian Art. Mr. Ando's Pennine Diary, Memoirs of a Japanese Chicken Sexer in 1935 Hebden Bridge. The Great Singapore Penis Panic and the Future of American Mass Hysteria. And Estonian Sock Patterns All Around the World.
And these are real books.
These are all real books,
which
were all runners-up to Cooking with Pooh. I think my case rests. Anyway, so for a number of years, this prize kind of wandered in the desert, and it was books about feces or loos or poos, but it's been bouncing back. And in recent years, we've seen Advanced Pavement Research. I think that's a really good one. And not seeing it. No snort on that one, Louise. All right. And then how about this one? This is one we have in the library. Divorcing a Real Witch for Pagans and the People That Used to Love Them. So this is a real, as the title says, you know, a real witch. So this is the whole thing about the not made up title. A practical guide for ending pagan relationships. And I remember when I looked at this book, it was out at Waiheke, which is sort of the Wiccan, the heartland of Auckland's Wiccan activity.
Ooh.
Yeah. So anyway, so now here is this year's shortlist. You ready?
Okay.
This is one that you get to pick one and vote for.
Okay. All right. So we're really going to do this then.
We're not going to vote right now because we want to influence our listeners out there, but they get to vote and we get to vote. And here is the shortlist.
We're not in America now. We're not doing American politics today, Karen.
We hope that we'll do as well.
Influence our voters.
So the first one is, are gay men more accurate in detecting deceits?
Oh, okay.
Scientific study. Then we have, this one does kind of go back to the toilet humor. We have Call of Nature, The Secret Life of Dung. But then we have, now we're moving up, back up again, Equine Dry Needling, Jesus on Gardening, The Joy of Water Boiling, and Why Sell Tacos in Africa?
Wow.
Why indeed?
Which one would you vote? Oh, no, we're not out.
No. We're not influencing anyone's vote. So if you want to vote, Louisa, you go to www.thebookseller.com. And if you want to try and remember this / Diagram and Prize 2018, but you can just go to thebookseller.com. And the voting is open until the 16th of November.
So I've got till then to think about.
You've got
my
4 choice. Days and 6 titles, and the winner will be announced on the 23rd of November.
So am I to pick it on my favorite title, or am I supposed to read the book?
No. You don't have to read the book, but you can if you see some odd titles around the library, as long as they've come in the last year. So it is new books. You can't go back and find a very old book. Although I love finding old books that make me think of the Diagram Prize.
Yeah.
There was one I remember a few years back that was, was new then, but it's not new now, but it still remains one of my favorite odd titles. The Bonus Year's Diet, 7 Miracle Foods, Including Chocolate, Red Wine, and Nuts, that can add 6.4 years on average to your life.
Oh, I remember that one.
But why 6.4 years? This is the thing I can't understand. Wouldn't you say about 6 years or almost 10 or more than 5? Who writes a book that says these foods are going to add 6.4 years to your life?
Well, they're trying to be scientific, I guess.
Probably, yeah.
Or win the Diagram Book Prize. I don't know. But I think, Karen, that the nominators for the Diagram Award books need to visit the children's picture bookshelves for more inspiration. I'm always rewarded with a good chuckle, a little laugh out loud, maybe some raised eyebrows when I was shelving in the picture book section. Trying to keep it clean and unoffensive, I've got a couple of examples in mind. Veggies with Wedgies by Todd, this is a good one, Todd H. Doodler.
Oh, that is very good.
So we can chuckle at the title, or we can chuckle at the author's name there, you know. Ants in Your Pants by Julia Jarman. sort of bordering on that toilet humour, I guess. It's actually a story about knickers. It's a party of all types of knickers, and the story is actually about inclusiveness. So all the different types of knickers join in the party. And then we have Ants in Your Pants, Worms in Your Pants. So this one, actually by Diane de Groot, and this one is about Gilbert the opossum wanting to participate in Earth Day. Poor pesty Gilbert. And then, of course, we've already spoken about Winnie the Pooh. He's very good fodder, isn't he, for odd titles.
Winnie the Pooh with an H on the end of the Pooh.
Yes, not Pooh. The chef. So here comes Pooh, and another one, Cooking with Pooh.
There's a children's picture book called Cooking with Pooh?
There is. Well, there was. I mean, it's one of the earlier ones. Perhaps they sort of thought.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, so I like this clever use of reverse psychology to get children to read their books, I guess. So Do Not Open This Book by Andy Lee, and his follow-up book, Do Not Open This Book Again by Andy Lee. So, and working along the same line, Danica McCalla has got a book, Do Not Open This Maths Book, which is an actual maths book, so I don't know if that worked for her. A graphic novel, The Boring Book. So not my favourite book, not my this amazing book, but a boring book. And there was recently in the, I think it was in the, it was in the picture book shelves, but it has sort of moved around in the library, A Book with No Pictures by BJ Novak. And so it's an alphabet book of funny words and sounds, but no pictures.
Yeah, I remember that.
In the
yeah.
picture book section. So, okay, so one more time, one last one, sorry. Shut the Duck Up by Mandy Foote. So did she put her foot in it or what, do you think?
I'm not sure if that's odd as much as, what's the word that we want for that one? It's not coming to me, it will come to me. You keep going.
So it could be, it's, I think, an intentional use.
Yeah, yeah. It's a playful. My word is something about playful.
Yeah, but the adult version. Yeah. So it certainly would catch the parents' attention. I don't know if the kids realise. Maybe some advanced kids there out there. So she's not the only author to catch on to this little trick. There's quite a few books with this title, both children's and adults, in the library. So if the Diagram Awards has not included picture books in their awards.
Oh, no, they do. They do, because I remember one year there was one, What Kind of a Bean is a Chihuahua? And that was a picture book.
Oh, yeah, I'd vote for that one.
Yeah, I would do.
So there actually is a mother in the States. She started her own awards for
another award.
So the Weird As Ass. No, two S's. Weird As Picture Books.
Well, it could
awards.
Be Weird As Picture Books. Like you say Sweet As, it could be Weird As. A picture book
I've got
is
to say
Weird
with an
As.
American accent, do I?
Well, American accent would be Ass, but you could do it both ways as the fancy takes you.
So it's she started in 2008 for honoring quirky children's titles that adults laugh at too. And I've lost my piece of paper here now that tells me all about her awards. Oh, thank you, Karen. Here we go. We've mentioned that. These awards are given to the story, illustration, or cover art for achieving outstanding weirdness in both illustration and text. So author Stephen Dubner,
who's Freakonomics.
Freakonomics, yeah. And you spoke about one of his books in a recent show, didn't you? Was nominated for The Boy with Two Belly Buttons, which I do remember seeing in the library. And but it lost out that particular year to Cowboy and Octopus. So I don't know what the story about Cowboy and Octopus
we do
about.
Have in the library. It's just out at the moment. We weren't able to bring it in. We certainly would have brought it in and read one of its jokes.
So because we're doing oddness and weirdness, I thought I'd bring along a children's joke today. You ready?
Okay.
Okay. What do you get when you cross an octopus with a cow, Karen?
I think it has something to do with udders with eight tentacles or something.
No.
I'm not sure. Is it? No.
Listen to me practice my joke?
No.
It is a cow that can milk itself.
Oh, that's much better than an udder with eight tentacles.
But back to toilet humour. My youngest son's favourite, he would only read humorous books when he was young. So his favourites were We Cannot do the show without mentioning the Captain Underpants series by Dave Pilkey, and his all-time favourite, which I don't know, as a mother, when he first brought it home and I from school, I thought, what is this book? You know, Zombie Bums from Uranus by Andy Griffiths. Is that hot toilet humour or what? And after he went through the whole Captain Underpants series, I think he sort of didn't find anything else to replace his reading preference.
He could have moved on to James Joyce. There's a lot of scatological humour in James Joyce. Tell him to come and talk to me.
Okay, I'll send him your way.
You know, another funny thing is the, because I was thinking about when you said Captain Uranus, is it Captain Uranus? What is it? Somebody Uranus. Anyway, zombies. About odd names. So not only are there odd titles, but there are also odd names in literature. So my favorite are Charles Dickens's characters. So these ones like Uriah Heep, the one who's in David Copperfield, is always being humble. And Ebenezer Scrooge, like what kind of a fantastic name is Ebenezer Scrooge?
I know, he was very good at that.
Yeah, he was. He was really, every book is just full of these amazing the Pickwicks. But anyway, so did you have a favorite odd character name?
Well, I want to say I lived in Ebenezer House in London.
Ah!
Yeah, which always made me think of Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yeah.
Pippi Longstocking, that's an obvious one, isn't it? I loved Pippi. And I didn't, Pippi is a nickname for
Pippolotta.
You know who? Go on.
I just know Pippolotta.
I can't.
Go ahead.
It's quite a mouthful. Hang on a moment. I've lost my piece of paper.
Oh, well, I happen to have it here, so I can lend it to you. Pippolotta.
Oh, okay. I'm on the spot here. Du-du-du-du-du-du. Astrid Lindgren's Pippi Longstocking was named by her 9-year-old daughter. The full name is Pippolotta Delicatessa Window Shade Mackerel Mint Ephraim's daughter, Longstocking. Whew.
Yeah,
but imagine sweet trying to get that one out.
Imagine that was actually originally in Swedish. So I wonder how it would have sounded to have read that out in Swedish. Do you want to give it a go? I've got it
quite
here.
Miracle, I imagine.
Really here. So anyway, so one of my favorite, I've got to say, one of my favorite character names in literature is Boo Radley in To Kill a Mockingbird. I just think Radley is such a great name. I mean, nicknames always make it easier. Fudge is another one. You know, the Super Fudge, the Judy Blume books. I just thought that was a great name. Do you have any others, Louisa, that you wanted to put forth?
What was it called? There's Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka is a great one,
And Eeyore and Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
Eeyore and Digger.
Yeah.
I've got to branch out from the children's genre now, don't I? What about Hannibal Lecter?
That's a very
scary,
good,
isn't it?
Yes. That's a very good one. So do you know about Major?
No, I don't.
One of my favorites.
Have you just made that up?
No, I haven't. Joseph Heller made it up in his classic Catch-22. So Catch-22, and if it takes place in the Army, and it's all about Army regulations and how ridiculous they are. And the characters, it's a comic novel, it's very funny. Anyway, so Major was actually, his last name is Major, and then his father named him, his father named him Major after he'd considered things like Drum Major, could be his name, or Minor Major, Sergeant Major, and even C-sharp Major was one of the possibilities. Then in the end he went for Major, so as compared to Minor Major, the Major, so then he was Major, and then he became a major in the Army. So then he became Major.
You lost me there.
You have to read the book. You have to read the book, Catch-22. And another one that I love is Mrs. Malaprop. Do you know about Malapropisms? So malapropisms are that thing where you say, you sort of mistake the word for a word that sounds similar to it. So
I do that all the time. Is that its name?
See, you're a natural Mrs. Malaprop.
I am. And just call me Mrs. Malaprop.
Yeah.
In fact, that would be the name for my odd book. Perhaps.
It could be. It could be Mrs. Malaprop. Like what's the book? This being somebody. Yeah. What is it? It'll come to me like with that name of the person in the movie that I'll yell it out at the end. So I actually always thought Mrs. Malaprop, I don't know why, it was a character by Dickens. There's so many Dickens books that I haven't read, although I've read a lot of them. But actually, she was a character in a much earlier, a century earlier book, a play, which was by Richard Brinsley Sheridan. And she's a humorous aunt, an auntie, who goes around always getting her words wrong. So things like, a milestone around my neck instead of a millstone around my neck and so on.
Oh, gosh, I hope my nieces don't.
Don't hear this? Or you're going to say they got your new name.
Yeah.
So I can move us along before your nieces come too close. And I'm going to say, I'm going to move us on to another great piece of news. Did you see the news, the headline, Wodehouse Prize for Comic Fiction Withheld After Judges Fail to Laugh?
No. But that in itself is quite funny, isn't it?
It is. It's a funny headline. So this, you know, after this very odd year in which the Nobel Prize for Literature was not awarded, the Wodehouse, so the actual name of this prize is the Bollinger Everyman Wodehouse Prize for Comic Fiction.
Oh, my ears have pricked up.
And
Bollinger as in the champagne.
As a sponsor.
Oh, how do I win this one?
Well, first let me tell you about how it hasn't been awarded at all. I'll tell you how you win it.
I can't win it.
It was not awarded this year because here's what the quote, I've looked up the article, the full article, and just the headline, and the quote is, in another blow to a year that has already suffered from its fair share of doom and gloom, the judges of the Bollinger Everyman Wodehouse Prize for Comic Fiction, revealed on Wednesday morning that they had not found a book they felt worthy to join the heady comedic ranks of P.G. Wodehouse, or of previous winners such as Marina Lewitska or Alexander McCall Smith. So there were 62 books submitted, and here's another direct quote from, this is a direct quote from the judges, despite the submitted books producing many a wry smile amongst the panel during the judging process, we did not feel that any of the books we read this year incited the level of unanimous laughter we have come to expect.
Ooh.
So, yeah, this is a really important prize. It's considered the Oscar of comic fiction. It's been won by books like Bridget Jones's Baby and a Terry Pratchett novel and actually an Ian McEwan novel as well. So so this is the point. You want to know how can you win this prize
this
to get the Bollinger champagne.
This is a serious, funny prize.
Well, it's the prize is being rolled over to next year. So if you can write a very funny comic book in the last little bit, you've got to... Oh, no, I guess it would be all of next year you'd have. So you'll have a year.
I could win two bottles of Bollinger.
You could, and then you get to win a pig. Do you know about how you win a pig?
You win a pig.
You
I
win
just
a pig.
Want the Bollinger.
The winner of the Bollinger Everyman Wodehouse Prize for Comic Fiction wins a rare Gloucester Old Spot pig. And I'm not quite clear on this. The pig either gets the name of the book that won, or maybe the author gets to name the pig and thinks the funniest thing is to give it the name of their book, which sometimes is very funny because when a book like Bridget Jones his baby has won. You can see that's kind of a funny name for a Gloucester Old Spot pig.
True. I'm just picturing this. I'm presuming it's a free-range pig roaming the Gloucestershire County.
Not sure.
Calling it
free.
In for feeding.
It's got to be ready to be there to have its photo taken. I remember one year that was the name was Snuff. And one year, also the Jonathan Coe book, the Rotters Club. I thought those were both very good names for pigs. So remember, when you pick your odd title, then
the
be
pig
sure
in mind.
To keep a pig in mind. Yeah.
Not just the bottle of Bollinger.
Yeah. So have I killed you with all my talking about awards, or do you want to hear about the anti-award?
Oh, right.
So the
You have
anti-
been busy this week, haven't you?
Well, I just... you know, it's my milieu, the literary world. So the ABSATS Award, actually, I found out about quite a few years ago, stumbled across it while looking at, believe it or not, a piece on the internet about the Chekhov Book Festival in a city in Russia called Taganrog. And when I started reading up on this Chekhov Book Festival, it said, within the framework of the festival, I remember that phrase earlier, within the framework of the festival.
Have you used it since? Within the framework of?
Oh, certainly, absolutely. Very, very corporate language. So will be held Prosvetitel Enlightener Literary Awards and the presentation of the anti-prize ABSATS. So what do? You go around, you start reading around, what is this ABSATS award? And I found a blog by a Russian teacher who had also wanted to know what the ABSATS... Well, she just wanted to know about the word ABSATS. I'm not sure if she was actually writing about the anti-award. So... turns out ABSATS is not the name of a sponsor, as you might think, not like Bollinger, but it's a Russian word meaning indentation or paragraph, technically. But in the blog, Lisa explained that there were also some slang definitions. So this is what you always want to get to, don't you? The slang. So the slang definitions are three puffs or three tokes, or which I'm not sure, the end of something. I'm thinking, you know, three on a match. And in our culture, we have the three on a match. I'm not sure if that relates to the three puffs or the three tokes. Or some sort of 220 millimeter missile. So
okay.
This is also called an absatz. And so as it turns out...
One of those words that can be anything you want.
Well, possibly, or there's some cultural, you know, it's always the thing with translation. You really have to be a part of the culture. It's the hard part
of
translating.
The
yeah. So I didn't see any of the books that they had worse translation. I know that the book that won when Lizok was writing about it on her blog was a book called How to Seduce Any Man. And it won the award on the merit of the fact that it had been completely plagiarized from another book called How to Make Anyone Fall in Love with You. So that was someone's attempt to improve on the title, but not on the content of the book. But anyway, so I have an example for you. I was remembering how we had that chat about Hemingway when we were doing bromance. Remember that you had the book, My Life with Hemingway. Yeah, anyway, it was the bromance. A.E. Hotchkin, right, exactly.
Hotchkin. He didn't have a first name.
No, but he had a bromance with Hemingway and wrote a lot about him. And I had said there's also a book about Hemingway's boat, which I said perhaps was we tried to find a way to say boat rants, like a bromance. Mm-hmm. We didn't succeed, but anyway.
We were trying to come up with a new genre.
Yeah, so in this book, the reason why I always remember this book is actually because of the fact that there's a very funny, award for worst editing. I'm going to nominate for the four toke fail of worst editing. In this book, it tells a story about how Hemingway, when he was in Bimini on his beloved boat, which was called the Pilar, he invited Bror Blixen to come and visit him. So, Bror Blixen, who was the ex-husband of Isaac Dinesen, who wrote Out of Africa, was also a big game hunter and a very famous philanderer who brought along his third wife named Eva.
Oh, gosh.
So she used to be a race car driver.
They all were, then, philanderers.
All named Eva. Oh, philanderers. They were
as
all
well
named
as
Eva. Heavy drinkers and heavy philanderers. So anyway, Eva came along and she was given a little bunk adjacent to Papa's cabin. Although, as I recall, the expression was, the general impression is that the two had actually shared his cabin. So then they go back to New York, the Blixens go back to New York, and she wrote Hemingway a letter, and she said, according to the book, so I went and looked it up, I've got the book at home still, so it says, whether with Blix or without him wasn't clear, she was going back to Sweden, and then she was going to go back to Africa, and she wrote Hemingway, it says in the book, do come clown in the autumn.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at it, I'm going, do we really think that somebody is writing Mr. Tough Guy, maximum tough guy Hemingway, inviting him to Africa to come and clown in Africa? I mean, did nobody think that perhaps her loopy handwriting on the postcard, on the Waldorf Astoria
letterhead
was not do come down, and maybe it was sort of a loopy D.
I thought that straight away.
You see, smart woman.
Yeah.
So
and it made it into the book, did it?
Yeah. So at first I was thinking typo, but no, actually that goes in with the worst editing. But I was trying to think there must be some typos we can think of.
Well, I guess we can't talk about literary oddities without talking about famous typos. So usually they're in the first edition of a book, aren't they, until they get picked up. So George R.R. Martin's A Dance with Dragons on page 854 with Queen Circe is descending a staircase and muses, I am beautiful, she reminded himself.
is that a typo or is that an editing again? I'll give you my typo, and then we have to stop because we're at the end.
That's true.
Is from the first edition of An American Tragedy, where the two lovers, instead of being tossed on the sea like two small ships, were tossed on the sea like two small chips. That's a good one for New Zealand.
Oh, it is. So, fish and chips on a Friday night.
It's our time for today. So everybody get voting, www.thebookseller.com, and keep reading and send us in your funniest odd titles that you find to our comment on the Auckland Library's blog.
Yes, don't forget to check out our blog on the Auckland Library's website, where we will list all the books mentioned today, all the odd titles. Watch those typos, Karen.
Weekly posts for anything you forget and don't see. So that's our show for today.
That's it from the odd couple. Ka kite anō.
This program was brought to you by Auckland Libraries. Find us online at aucklandlibraries.govt.nz and catch the program next Sunday at 9:35pm on 104.6 FM or anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/booksandbeyond.